Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
It's good working with you, brother.
You said you was going to pray for me.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding. We are on our staff. We have the Marvel Comics. We're Marvel Comics. So I'm Black Panther. This is Captain America. Pastor Bruce is Aquaman. He's Aquaman, you know, being from Hawaii. Stay up. Where you going, man? Don't leave. And then we got, you know, that holds it all together. You know, Elsa, she's Wonder Woman. You know, she's lassoing us in, staying here. And then we got the guy that oversees it all, Pastor Ron. You know, I was thinking, man, what should Ron be? You know, because, you know, and all of a sudden it was like the Hulk, you know, because he's always smashing. Get it right. No, I'm just sitting. I'm teasing. So let's get in this word, man. Thank you so much for helping me with this word. We're going to have a great time. We do. This into this word today. We're in a series called Casket Empty. And we're going to continue from what we talked about a couple weeks ago. I'll just recap real fast. We're talking about the kings, and we're talking about David. And David was a worshiper. David was a worshiper. But David also had problems just like you and I. David had a folly where he would begin to drift away from God and do things that weren't right. But the one thing about David that God loved was that David was a man after God's own heart. Now, there's something about repentance. There's something about being genuine and authentic about when you make a mistake where you own it. And that's what David did. David owned the mistake. You know what? I messed up. I accidentally stepped out of the marriage covenant, had a child out of wedlock. But that's okay because God is sovereign. And if you look at God through this biblical journey, you begin to see how God is in the details of everything. See, we may not understand the universe, but we ought to understand the God that owns the universe, that controls the universe. He has a son by the name of Solomon. We learned about Solomon. Pastor Ron preached about Solomon and how Solomon had this wisdom. God gave him wisdom to run the nation. He began to realize that sitting in this seat of leadership, it wasn't about him, but it was about the people. And God respected that so much that not only did he give him wisdom, but he gave him everything else, wealth, fame. It says that if Solomon was to live today, he'd be a trillionaire. Solomon was the wealthiest man to ever walk the face of the earth, the wisest man to walk the face of earth outside of Jesus. But Solomon, too, had a mistake. Solomon, too, had a tendency to drift from the covenant. And as he drifted, he began to idol worship and bring idols into the nation, which began to cause the nation to be in chaos. But you know what? God is merciful and God is sovereign once again, and he's the God of details, and he knows the beginning from the end. But how many know you can have all the fame, all the fortune, and all of this, but if you don't have God at the end of the day, we're nothing. We're nothing. And Solomon, at the book that Pastor Ron was preaching out of last week in Ecclesiastes, he said this, man, I look at my life and I look back over the years and a lot of woulda, coulda, and shoulda, and all of a sudden he begins to realize, man, life is vanity without God. And so we look at Solomon's life, and he's at the end of his rope, and now he's closing out, and we begin to see where Solomon is getting ready to hand the reins over. And along the way, we're going to introduce the three men today. I'm going to talk about three men, Jeroboam, Rehoboam, and I'm going to talk about Josiah. And see, the nation is in chaos right now because Solomon married a bunch of wives. He had a bunch of wives. He said over 700 wives plus concubines. And these women, as he was marrying them, were serving other gods. And as they were serving other gods, they were bringing their gods into the nation. And the people began to worship these idols, worship these other gods. And so God is looking down on the nation, and he's had enough. It's time for me to really begin to do what I need to do to these people to wake them up. And Solomon is getting ready to transition out. And along the way, there's a man by the name of Jeroboam that gets this prophetic word from a prophet. It comes to him and says this, the nation is going to split. And I'm going to allow you to lead 10 of the tribes of this nation of Israel. There's 12. I'm going to give you 10. And so Jeroboam begins to understand, man, there's a possibility that I'm going to be something great. I'm going to do something great. But that was not just the end of the story. That's just the beginning of it, because now we have Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And Solomon hears about what's going on with Jeroboam. And what happens is that Jeroboam tries to take the throne before it's time. And Solomon tries to kill him. And Jeroboam runs and flees to Egypt. And that, during this time of transition, he takes his son Rehoboam and puts him in as king. And along the way, Solomon dies. He dies. And this is where I began to really dig deep, because I began to see God in the details. Jeroboam comes back from Egypt, and he's trying to take his place, and Rehoboam is trying to take his place, and all of a sudden there comes a moment where there's a decision that needs to be made, and the person, Jeroboam, goes to the elders, and he begins to talk to them about if he were to lead the nation, what would it be like? And they were like, if you lead the nation, would you please do one thing? Would you take this burden off of us? If you take this burden off of us, we'll follow you. But you know what? Rehoboam got the same thing as well. The same advice. If you take this burden off of us, because the people of Israel at the time were going through a difficult season because of Solomon's hand of heaviness to build the nation. And so Rehoboam, instead of being a wise man, he does something foolish. There's three types of people that you got to be careful in your life. There's three types, what I call friendship levels. You got foes, and that's people that hate you. They don't want to see you make it. I call them haters. They're foes. They want to see you fall. But then I see the other persons. There's fans. And Rehoboam, instead of taking the word of the Lord and saying, doing what the elder said, he chose to go to his peers. And his peers were fans. Fans will tell you whatever you want to hear. They'll tell you whatever you want to hear. They'll just, man, you need to do this. Do whatever you want to do. We'll follow you. But the word of the Lord was take the lift, the burden off the people. But he chose to do something different. He listened to his fans. And what happened is the fans led him in the wrong direction. And they began to encourage him to put more pressure, more weight on the people. And the people got frustrated and said, you know what? We're out of here. We're going to follow Jeroboam. And the nation splits. There's a northern kingdom and there's a southern kingdom now. They follow Jeroboam and they go up there. My first point is this, is number one, be careful where you get counsel. Be careful where you get counsel. See, when you are in a position of leadership and you're leading people, remember, Solomon got this wisdom. It's not about me, it's about the people. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:24, without wise leadership, a nation falls. But there is safety in having many advisors. Safety in the multitude of counselors. He went to the peers instead of going to the elders. There's something about going to people that are more wise, that are more seasoned, that have been there and done that. And the problem is when you go away from wise leadership, you get bad counsel and you end up in a bad situation. The nation is split. Rehoboam only gets two of the tribes. He gets the tribe of Benjamin and he gets the tribe of Judah, and they're down in the north. And now the pressure's on. You know, I remember getting counsel at a young age, because when real pressure's on your life, it's more than just the micro, it's the macro. What is going to affect people? What is not just going to affect me, but what is not just going to affect you, but what is it going to affect others? And I remember growing up, I had this opportunity to play college football. I had a lot of opportunities to go to any school in the nation. They're lined up at my door every day after school knocking, could you come play for us? Could you come play for us? And my mother didn't really know too much about football, but one thing my mother had was wisdom. She had wisdom. And my mother would look these men in the eye that was coming in here telling me everything that I wanted to hear. And I remember she's looking at these men and they would say, your son's going to do this. He's going to play in the NFL. He's going to make a lot of money. But my mother said, I don't worry about that. Is he going to get an education? Is he going to get an education? What happens if he blows his knee out? What happens if he dislocates his shoulder? Will he get an education? And all those guys would back, we just care about the athlete. We're not really cared about the student. We know student athlete, but he's going to make money. My mom's like, uh-uh. Is my baby going to be all right when you send him away, when I put him in your hands? And I remember there came a moment where I had to whittle it down to two schools. And you got to get this. I'm talking about wisdom. And I got these two schools that I got to choose to go to. One in the northeast and one in the northwest. And as I'm making this decision, I'm driving to the school to sign these papers. This is my life now. As I'm driving, my mother looks at me, she says, you know, I don't know about this school over here that you want to go to. But I'm like, Mom, come on, man. The ladies look good up there. Man, it's going to be on. Man, I'm going to be balling. I ain't trying to, Mom, come on. I'm just driving. She's like, son, I'm telling you, you might want to go this way instead of that way. I remember sitting there getting ready to walk into the school, and I felt this thing inside of me. Listen to your mom. She's been there, done that. And I go in there, and I change at the last minute. I go to this school instead of that school. Well, I go to this school, Saints, and I make my way up to this school, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, in there, the dorm room, and all of a sudden, I cut my television on. And I begin to watch TV, and all of a sudden, it comes across the screen that the school that I wanted to go to just got probation for the next 5 years. They'll not be able to have one football game, so you may as well not have gone there, Shino. Wisdom. Safety in the multitude of counsel. Who is it that is in your life? Who is it is in your life? Can I bring that slide up? This is what my mother used to tell me. Do we have that slide? I think we do. Maybe, maybe not. Okay. We don't? Yes, we do. I don't have gray hair. I have wisdom highlights. That's what my mom used to tell me. I don't have gray hair. I got wisdom highlights. There's something about being around a person that has wisdom. And if there's anything you hear me say today, is in the midst of chaos, God loves a humble heart. God loves a humble heart. See, the nation is in chaos right now. It's split, and we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do, but God knows what to do. So the nation is split in half, and the people in the northern kingdom, it's nasty. It's dark because now Jeroboam has made a decision that he wants to bring these other idols into the nation. He wants them to worship other gods. And the people that are righteous are saying, you know what? This isn't right. We chose to follow you because you took a burden off of us, but now you're getting crazy. So now we're going to slide over here. The priests and everybody go down to the northern kingdom to be with Jeroboam and stay with, or excuse me, Rehoboam and stay with him. And as they're with him, God begins to shine his face and his light upon the people. And it says this, that these kings that came after him, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joash, Hezekiah, these kings were righteous and the nation began to flourish. Let me tell you something, Saints, this morning. It's important for you to be around the people of God that are living pure, that are living holy, that are not ashamed of the gospel, because when you're in that environment, good things happen. Good things happen. But Jeroboam, the problem with Jeroboam was this, is he tried to take the leadership mantle a little too quick. And my second point is be patient. You have to be patient. See, patient is a Christian cuss word. Nobody wants to wait for the Lord. Those that wait on the Lord, they'll renew their strength. You'll wait. See, waiting on God is so important because what we don't know is God is up to something behind the scenes. See, when you're taking care of God's house, he's back here taking care of your house. And God is in the midst of doing some great things. But man, God, Lee, you see, Jeroboam wants to do things his way. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, 18, that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. The nation is split because of chaos. The nation is split because of ungodly counsel, wise counsel. You know, I understand that there's young people that want to lead. And the thing about Jeroboam was that he was a young man, but he was not ready to lead. He wasn't ready to step into that role. And when he had an opportunity to listen to the elders, I heard a phrase a long time ago when I was a young minister. It said this, we want you at the seat of the table as a young minister. We want you here. But I promise you this, you got to respect those that built it. Young people, if you want to lead in society, we want you to have a seat at the table. I'm talking about the college, and I'm talking about our youth. But you have to understand that in order to get a seat at the table, you got to respect those that built it. And if Rehoboam would have respected those elders that walked with his father, the nation would still be intact and things would be going well. But God's got a plan. How many know that God has a plan and God is sovereign? If you turn to your Bible in 2 Chronicles 34:1-7. 2 Chronicles 34:1-7. I mentioned a man by the name of Josiah. And the reason I whittled down to all the kings that had went through, because this is the last righteous king to take over before the nation goes into exile. See, the northern kingdom was in trouble. They were already going into captivity. The Assyrians were coming to get them, and it was already bad for them. But man, there was a glimmer of hope. There was a glimmer of life. There was something possible that could happen that could be good if somebody would rise up and be the man of God that they're called to be as they're sitting on the throne. Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the ways of the father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, the Asherah poles and idols. Under his direction, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them and smashed the Asherah poles and the idols. These he broke to pieces and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed them. He burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and he purged Judah and Jerusalem. In the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as the Naphtali, and in the ruins around them, he tore down the altars of the Asherah poles and crushed the idols of powder and cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem, Josiah. You know, the name Josiah means the Lord supports or the Lord saves. And here's a man, 8 years old, a child, I should say, sitting in a position of power. God had spoken years ago to Jeroboam. He told him, there's going to become one that's going to tear down the altars of Baal, the Asherah poles. He's going to do all the things that we just read. And he's going to turn my people back to me. How many know today that the power of God, that God doesn't lie? God, once he says something, he declares something, he's going to do it. My third point is this, is God can use whatever he wants to use. God can use whoever, and he can use whatever he wants in order to fulfill his kingdom, in order to fulfill his call. Young people today, don't let anybody look down on your youth. You may be young in age. You may be young, but God can take a young child and use them to turn the world upside down. God can take a college student from Columbia and do something great like you just heard up here. God can take a person from St. John's or any other place in this city, a young person, to do something great. That's why, as a church, we're believing God for the next generation. We don't hide our young people. We put them up front and say, you know what? We want you to go do something great in society. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:12, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young. Don't let anybody look down on you because you are young. In the midst of chaos, the nation is in chaos because these idols are in the society, are in the world. And God uses this 8-year-old boy to begin to do some great things. It's said of him, at 8, man, he begins to read and study and do things, and God begins to do great things through him. Don't let anybody look down on your youth, but be example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. The beauty of Josiah is this, is that as Josiah begins to grow, at the age of 8, he becomes king. At the age of 16, he begins to seek the Lord with all his heart. Say all. When you begin to seek the Lord with all your heart, God begins to reveal things in you and through you. So many people in the nation want revival. We want revival. We want revival. But revival starts with me, and revival starts with you. If you want to see God change the nation, it starts right here inside of your own life. It says that he begins to seek the Lord with all his heart. Along the way, he begins to realize, man, there's something not right about the nation. He begins to purge it. He begins to tear down these altars, just like the prophetic word said he was going to do. And as he's tearing these altars down, and he begins to go through the temple and begins to make the temple back where it was supposed to be. It says he comes across a scroll. And when he comes across this scroll, he hands it to his advisor and says, please read to me. And it's the book of Moses. And as he's reading this book, as he's searching the scriptures, he begins to realize that the nation is in turmoil because they walked away from God. Because they're not doing what God had commanded and called them to do. The important people is to search the scriptures if you want to know what God is about and what God is getting ready to do. Sometimes when you begin to open up your Bible, and I know maybe you don't want to do this because you got a hectic life, because it's chaos on the outside, but there's no greater chaos than what this young man was facing. The nation is in turmoil. But he took time to read and to study the scriptures. And as he's reading the scriptures, he began to realize if the nation is going to change, I got to change first. I got to change first. As the leader, it's on me. It's not on the people. As I go, so goes the nation. So goes the nation. So what I want to say to you this morning is search the scriptures. Dig deep in the word of God. Don't take it lightly to say, oh, well, I can't do this or I don't have time. You know, there was a time in my life where I searched the scriptures. And if I had not searched the scriptures, I would not be standing before you today. There's two D words that you don't want to hear in your life come across your path. First one is death. Nobody wants to, somebody died. You know, you hear that? Oh, no, somebody died. I don't want to hear that. But the other one is divorce. Divorce. Nobody wants to hear that word. And that word came across my table. And I remember when this was going on, things were getting chaotic in my life. Chaotic. Things were spiraling out. And I got the news probably about 3 days where everything came to light, probably about 3 days before Christmas Eve. How do you know that's not a time to be getting bad news? Time to be full of joy and want to worship the Lord and give God praise. And I'm sitting there over my table with this Bible in my hand. See, I had trained myself over the years to search the scriptures. I trained myself over the years to go to the Word of God when things got chaotic in my life, whether it's internal or external. And as I'm searching the scriptures, I'm reading the story of Joseph and Mary and all this stuff because it's the holidays. And as I'm reading the scriptures, I'm calling on the Lord, what do I do? What do I do? And the Lord shows me through this scripture verse with Joseph, if you do what he did, you're going to get what he got and you will survive. You will make it and your family too. Searching the scriptures. I'm going to challenge you this morning. Are you searching the scriptures? Are you, when you get a revelation, how many know I didn't need meditation? I needed a revelation right then. I wasn't sitting there meditating on the word. No, I needed God to give me something so that I could go live and do something with my life. And it says that Josiah gets this revelation that he needs to repent and the nation is too. Number four says, be quick to repent and quick to obey. Josiah was quick to repent. He didn't sit there and try to push it on those that went before him. He said, no, it's on me. Let me take care of me first. And as I take care of me first, I'm going to go deal with the nation. And as he began to deal with the nation, he began to go around and point his finger and says, guys, look, we need to turn this thing around. We need to repent. You need to repent. How does that look? It's not just a physical or mental repentance. It's a turning away from. We can no longer live the way we're going to live if we're going to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the nation. And as he begins to do this, as he calls the team and calls the people back, their hearts are changed, and God begins to reinstitute something they hadn't done in over almost 300 years, which is the Passover. To institute the Lord's Supper, because the nation was so far from God, they forgot who they were. Have you been so far from God that you forget who you are? But when you draw near to the Lord, it says that he'll draw near to you. Draw near. And so this morning, as a church, I'm asking you and I'm asking myself to search the scriptures, but also search your heart. Am I sold out and am I living for the Lord? So many times we want to point and say, man, out there, if they get it right, if they do it. But how many know the church is the safest place in the universe? Should be. See, what's going on out there, they should come in here and find help and restoration, healing and deliverance and salvation where the true and true King. That's what it should be. And so now the people are coming back to the house of God. Now the people are coming back to the Lord. Now the people are coming back to be who they're called to be and what their who their first love is. And that's Yahweh, that's God, the nation. Now this is what I love the most about Josiah. Josiah knew that there was trouble coming, that they were going to be captive. They were going to be taken away. He knew this from a prophetic word that had been given to him. But what I love about Josiah was this. If I'm going down, I'm going down knowing that I gave God my best, that I didn't quit, that I didn't give up, that I didn't turn my back on him, that I didn't leave him. Just because it's bad, I'm going to make sure it's good. And how I leave one thing is how I'm going to enter another. So I'm choosing God to do it the right way. To do it the right way. Sometimes, saints, you got to understand that if you're going to go and turn some things around, it can be chaotic. But the one thing God loves is a humble heart. And this man chose to be humble. See, when there's humility, God is drawn to humility. Because now he realizes, man, I messed up. It's not the people, it's me. And as I go, so goes the people. As I go as a father, so goes my family and my children. As I go at the job, so goes my company. Because, see, everything rises and falls on leadership, and Josiah got that. They instituted the Passover, communion, if you will. They hadn't done this since the days of Samuel. But there's something about going back to the beginning. And this morning, what I'm asking you as a church is to go back to your first love in Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray and I'm going to bring up Pastor Nathan to do the communion, but this is what I'm praying right now before I hand this microphone over to him. Josiah understood that it's God first. Josiah understood as he goes, so goes the nation. Josiah went back to his first love. And I'm asking you this morning, would you, as individuals and as a church, would we please go back to our first love in Jesus Christ? I want you to go back to that moment where you've opened the scriptures and somebody began to explain to you who this God is and what this God has done. And that there's a Savior that hung on a tree that died for us. And that he did it because he loves us. He didn't do it because he had to do it. He did it because he wanted us to have fellowship with him for eternity. First love. And I know as we go back to our first love in Jesus Christ, where nothing else matters, it can be chaotic in the world. But I'm humbling my heart this morning to re-engage the Lord Jesus Christ like never before. That the counsel that I receive, I want it to be the counsel from God. That when chaos and turmoil is in my life, I'm going to choose to stay humble and do what God has called me to be and do. First love. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask this morning that as we prepare our hearts to receive this communion, that it would not be lightly. But God, we would re-engage you in a fresh new way. make our hearts come alive once again. And make us living stones in this church that love God and love people. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.